If you're using Nginx as the front end to Kestrel, then you can use that to do your SSL terminations, and you can even use it to add HTTP 2 support to Kestrel. Let's mash on that. Hi everybody! In today's episode, we're going to take a look at some of the more advanced options in Nginx. We did an Nginx episode a couple of weeks ago, and we basically just got it proxying requests through to Kestrel, and today we're going to add some additional functionality to it. So, in order to do this, I started off with a virtual machine on Azure, and there is a reason behind that. Let me go and find the one of these that I had, not that one. Oh, I buried it somewhere. Okay, well, we will locate that at some point here. There's the one. Background. Okay, so I created a virtual machine on Azure, and the reason that I did this was because I wanted to use Let's Encrypt in order to generate my SSL certificate. So if you're not familiar with Let's Encrypt, encrypt.org, this is a fabulous new tool that is allowing you to create free automated SSL certificates for your website. So the idea here is that SSL certificates have forever been prohibitively expensive. Many years ago, they were thousands of dollars for a year. Even now, they're hundreds of dollars for a year. But really, all you're buying is a large random number. So it's always stuck in my craw that I've had to pay so much money for a large random number, because I know how to make large random numbers. So this is a culmination of a lot of different groups coming together to create this tool called Let's Encrypt, which always, for some reason, this just makes me think of Walmart.
It totally does. I don't know.
I don't know what it is about it. It's very Walmart-esque, but they're not a partner, as far as I know. So they snuck into my mind share through some method, just having a similar font. Anyway, so
The automated part is great about this too, right? Because then the idea is you never get caught with a certificate that expired.
Right. So these certificates actually expire like every 90 days or something, which there have been other free certificates that expire every 90 days, but you usually have to go and renew them yourself manually, which is a huge pain and you're almost certainly going to forget. With Let's Encrypt, there is tooling in place, so all you really need to do is just set up a cron job to do it. But in order to get these things to work, you need to prove that you own the domain. And again, this is not something that's unique to Let's Encrypt. You often see this with SSL certificates, that you need to be able to prove that you own the domain. And Let's Encrypt uses a method whereby they just put a file on the web server, and then they go check the contents of that file so they know that you actually own the web server before they'll hand you over the certificate for it. So I needed to have something that was public-facing in order to have Let's Encrypt go and generate the certificate for it. So I went and created a handy-dandy virtual machine here in my Azure. So I called it Grrr Monsters. That just made sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I created a subdomain off of simontims.com called monster.simontims.com that I have put a CNAME record in, which is associated with this monsters one. So this is actually the first time that I've used one of these kind of like new virtual machine things inside of a resource group. So creating a virtual machine actually created a bunch of different resources in here. So it created the disks, it created a virtual network, it created an externally facing IP address here, which is kind of cool. And I associated, apparently that is a reminder. So I associated this DNS name to it here, screwmonsters.westus.cloudapp.azure.com. And I also have this really cool network security group, which is something that I had not come across before in Azure, but I have seen in Amazon, which just allows setting up a bunch of rules that allow incoming and outgoing ports. So I created a bunch of stuff in here, some of which turns out I don't really need. Really, the only one that I need at the end of the day is an HTTP 2.1 on port 443, so that's the standard SSL port. But in order to get it set up, I started off with one on like port 80, and then as I was going through the process, I tried some other ports too. But this is an Ubuntu server that is out there in the cloud, and I have an SSH connection handily here open to it. And in order to get this working right out of the box, I need to start by installing a bunch of different packages. So I have to have a list over here of what I went through and ran. So I started off with installing make, which is kind of an important tool to have. In your toolchain, anything on Linux is usually built using this make tool. This is a tool that would be similar to something like MS Build, but has a much longer history. And it's also somehow more confusing than MS Build.
It's been around forever.
It has. And
which means there's a lot of legacy there.
Yeah, it's super interesting in that it has a bunch of implicit rules within it. So it sort of knows how to do some things that it just does behind the scenes. You're like, how did you know to do that with my .c files? But it just knows. I included libssl-dev, so there's already libssl on this machine, but I need the dev libraries to compile against. I included a C compiler, so I'm using Clang here, but I think you could easily have used GCC as well instead. And then I included this libpcre3, I have no idea what that is, but that was required to get Nginx to build. So the next thing I did is I went and downloaded the source code for Nginx, and that seems like a strange approach because we do have all this apt-get stuff. This allows me to go off and get Nginx if I wanted to, and I could just install it from the binary. But as it turns out, the latest stable version of Nginx, 1.10 point something or other, has a rather serious bug in it related to HTTP2 that they are refusing to fix in that branch. So you basically need to move to the 1.11 branch if you want to have proper HTTP 2 support. The bug is around when you send a post over HTTP 2, it will reset your connection, which is not ideal. So you need to move up to this newer version here.
So once that version's on the release stable branch, you won't need to build this manually, is that the idea?
That's hopefully the idea. It depends on what the binaries are like that come with your system. So I know that when I installed this on my local OS X box, if I run nginx-v, it'll tell you all the options that are used to configure Nginx. And the one that is missing in here is the HTTP2 stuff. So that flag is like HTTP with HTTP v2 module. So the one that I have here on my local machine does not have HTTP2 in it. So like the default binary version didn't have it. So I ended up building it from source to make sure that I had these. So there's probably a bunch of other configuration options that you want to add at some point if you're going to actually go and do this, but I stuck with just with HTTP v2 module, so that's going to add the HTTP v2 stuff, and then I also added with SSL, HTTPS SSL, and this is important because most of the browsers, so the HTTP 2 spec originally required that all HTTP 2 connections be over SSL, which was fabulous and great idea, and would really push the adoption of SSL. And then a bunch of people complained, and so they pulled back on it. So HTTP 2 doesn't require SSL, except that most of the browsers that have implemented their HTTP 2 support have done so only using SSL. It's sort of like the same thing.
The web is great.
In the end.
And can you give us just like a quick overview of what HTTP 2 is?
Yeah, so
those aren't familiar.
So everything so far that you've used on the web has been using an HTTP 1 point something protocol. So HTTP is the language that your web browser speaks when it talks to the server. And if you've ever like tried to talk to a web server using something like Telnet, you can actually send commands to it just in plain text. So if I was to Telnet into a server, then I could do things like get index.html, but I think it's, I think that this is the HT, I've done this in years, something like that. So if you were to send this text to the web server, then it would reply in text back again. So HTTP2 adds a few things, changes a few things. One of the things that it changes is that the communication protocol is no longer text-based anymore. So it's now a binary communication protocol. So this tends to be a little bit more efficient in terms of getting stuff back and forth from the server. One of the other big changes is that HTTP 1.1 is kind of a stateless protocol in that you send a request and you get a file back and then you send another request. So there's a lot of tooling out there around dealing with this stuff. So if you've ever had like a bunch of JavaScript files you want to serve off of your server, then you might have minified them and combined them together into one big file. And the reason for this is that with HTTP 1.1, in order to get those individual files, you end up making like six different requests if you've got six different files. So you pay the overhead of opening up a connection each time that you do that, which is not efficient, so we end up bundling it together. But that's kind of a pain for we developers to do, so all of our stuff ends up being in like one giant file that's kind of difficult to read. HTTP2 changes this, so it's like a streaming protocol. So I can say like, hey, give me these six files and it will just stream back the six files in sequence back to me. So that's a big change. And I think it also has some concept of doing prefetching built into it as right. well. So it's definitely worth a little bit more research, and we should maybe do an entire episode on HTTP2 because I'm not 100%
yeah,
familiar with it. So we'll put that in a list of things that we're going to examine. So anyway, I ended up compiling this brand new version of Nginx. I put it in /temp/Nginx because I like to live dangerously on the off chance that temp gets deleted. Even though this is a virtual machine and I'm going to throw it away, I still felt the need to put it in temp, so you probably don't need to do that. And then you can just run make and make install. So make will actually build it, and then make install will copy the files into this directory. It starts with a prefix here. So the result of that is that I have temp nginx in here. So this is basically the entire install for nginx.
Funny story. Temp is also where Simon likes to store his podcast recordings.
Yes, there may at some point have been an incident in which I stored a podcast recording there and it was subsequently deleted by a cron job that I didn't know existed. So some piece of advice there, folks. Don't do that. Okay, so with all of that set up, I now have Nginx installed on the machine and running just with its default configuration. So I then went and I just ran all of the stuff to install .NET on this machine. So I just got that from the ubiquitous .NET, which is a brilliant URL until you're trying to tell somebody it using words, in which case it becomes super confusing.
We have to say it so slowly too, right? It's like,
yeah,
.NET.
You have to write it down, really. It's a fabulous,
pretty much.
It's a fabulous URL for writing down, for talking to people about it. So. So yeah, I just went here and I just went to this, and then I told it that I had the Linux and then the Ubuntu, and this is everything that I ran on here. So that gives me .NET. I went and grabbed like the Nginx demo project that we had used previously. In order to, demo Nginx. I just pulled that down off of our GitHub, so we'll put a link to that in the post below here. And then finally, I ran this apt-get for a tool called Let's Encrypt. So this is a command line tool that integrates with Let's Encrypt. And I started off trying to run that. I have it in my history here somewhere. Okay, so this is what I ran here. So this is what I ended up running here. So I did sudo let's encrypt cert only. So this tool will integrate, like if you have Apache or Nginx on here, you can tell it to like update the configuration files and so forth, but I just want the certificate dumped somewhere on disk, so I want to do the configuration manually. And I've told it that my web root here is in /temp, so it's going to write a bunch of files into /temp here in order to try and put some stuff on the web server so we can verify that I am who I say I am. And then I'm going to give it the domain that I want to generate that certificate for here. So we can give this a shot. I have no idea. This might break everything if I run it again here, but we'll give it a try. All right, so it's asked me what I would like to do. So it's already found some certificates in my /etc, Let's Encrypt, Renewal, Monster, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to keep the existing certificate. The first time that I ran this, I had a similar menu to this, and I just needed to put in what my email address was, and then it generated everything else for me on the fly. So the real trick here is setting up stuff on Nginx. So if we take a look in /temp, we can see it's actually gone and deleted it, unfortunately. So the configuration file here for Nginx. So Let's Encrypt requires a special directory to exist on the web server, and that special directory, go grab the latest version of this file here. Hopefully that was the latest one. Nope, still not. All right. Fortunately, I saved the SHA, just in case this exact thing happened. All right. So it puts some files in a special directory on disk, and the directory is .well-known. So starting a directory with a period, I don't know who wrote this standard, but on like every web server in the world, this is a huge ordeal to get it set up properly. So this is how you have to have Nginx set it up. So I've set up a specific location here, just using like this regex, say anything that's in any request that comes in for well known, I would like to allow it, because by default, anything that starts with a dot is denied. So this is to ensure that you don't have things like .http, auth, and things like that, like Apache files served up by mistake. Right. And then I've told it that I just want to serve it off of /temp. So this is going to go and like create a it will serve anything in the well-known directory in /temp. And that's how Let's Encrypt knows to communicate. So it'll dump some files there, and then it'll do an HTTP request to make sure that those files actually exist on the server. But this is a bit of a trick to get it set up. Okay, so now that we have that, Nginx is going to dump some permission files on disk, and it's going to put them in, I'm going to sudo su here because it puts them in a hard to read location, which I've already forgotten what it was. Oops, let's go back to that VI file here. So it's going to put them in this directory here. Sudo ls directory. So it creates a bunch of certificate files in here. You can use all of them depending on your configuration for Nginx. I'm just doing like the most basic SSL configuration on Nginx possible here. If you're actually doing this in production, then you'll want to go and manually twiddle with your cipher suites and things like that to make sure it's as encrypted as possible. I would imagine that if I went and checked the encryption that I have on this thing right now at SSL Labs, it would not do very well because the default cipher suites would be bad. So I'm just going to run a quick test on it here, monster.simontimms.com.
So we'll love this tool.
Yeah, this is a fabulous tool. If you've never used this tool, this will tell you how good the SSL on your server is. So we'll just let that run in the background here real quick, and then we'll go back to the configuration file. So this location here, you can delete this once you have your certificate set up, but keep in mind that if you're renewing every 90 days, you're still going to need this information, I think. So then I went here and I added a listen port on 443, so that's the SSL one. I told it it's SSL and that I want HTTP 2 over it. Then I gave it these two certificates here. So this is the SSL certificate here, this full chain one, and then the SSL certificate key is just this private key file here. That is pretty much sufficient to get Nginx listening on HTTPS. So after that, you just need to tell Nginx to restart, which looks like this right here. So I'm just telling it to reload its configuration file here, nginx.com for reload. And I'm having to run this under sudo because I'm binding to port 80. So anytime on Linux that you're binding to anything under port 1024, I guess including 1024, then you need to do that as a root user. So let's check. Oh, this is still working. So now I can actually go and open up.
Oh, 1 second ago.
All right, we'll come back to it. So I can go over to monster, HTTPS, monster.simontims.com. And unless I have accidentally terminated something over here, we should get a site back. I don't see anything running here. So I might have... There we go. Just paused.
Oh, just came back.
Yeah, I had paused the .NET process running in the background there. So we can see this is encrypted. So that's nice. You can tell by the handy green padlock. And I installed this add-on here into my Chrome, which will tell me that it is HTTP2 enabled. So this is just a little add-on to tell you about.
Fantastic.
So that's it. That's all that's necessary to get this stuff running over HTTP2, and I'm gonna put up a blog post about this too in a couple of days' time. So if you're interested in the details, you can take a look at it there. So I got an A-, which is not bad. Like,
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Server does not support forward security with a reference browser. Group reduced to A-. So that's pretty good. So the default suites looks like they're actually pretty good. I'm pretty pleased about that. Yeah, so it doesn't support any of the old SSLs. We do support TLS 1.0, so I would probably tend to disable that. You lose some older browsers, but I'm prepared to do that for most things. And that's it. That's all that's necessary to set this stuff up. Like I say, I'll put up the real details in a blog post in a little bit. So if you're interested, go give it a try.
That's great. Thanks, Simon. And thanks, everyone, for joining us again here on ASP.NET Monsters. Remember to like, comment, share, and send us an email with your comments and questions. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.